reporting on the games you love by people who love to game. The MMO Reporter Network.
You're listening to WoW Pet Battle Crew, where small creatures fight to the death for our amusement. This show is brought to you by GoDaddy. Get your new domain or transfer for only $2.95. Use the coupon code MMO295. And by Guild Launch. Slay more dragons with Guild Launch. Use the coupon code MMOReporter and get your first month free. And by Doghouse Systems, makers of elite PC gaming machines. Use the coupon code MMOReporter and double your RAM. Hello and welcome to episode 24 of WoW Pet Battle Crew. I'm your host, Josh Augustine, and we are jumping in the Wayback Machine today. We are traveling to the far, distant, mystical, and wonderful land of March 2013. That's right, 4 months ago, back when the epic Beasts of Fable were just released, and I created my guide for it. But in case you don't remember, we did that full walkthrough on how to kill every single Beasts of Fable pet on episode 11, right when they came out. But in patch 5.3, which came out, I think maybe about a month ago now, they revamped all of the Beasts of Fable pets, supposedly making them more difficult, changing their abilities, and nerfing some of the more cheesy tactics we devised on how to beat them. So for this update to the guide, I'm going to talk about what we recommended before and whether you need to change it at all. So there's going to be a link to both the new and the original guides on the blog, gamediplomat.com, so you can reference it while playing it if you're having a particular time with Lucky Yi or whatever that turtle is. I can't even remember his name now. So obnoxious. But it'll all be on the blog. Just go there, gamediplomat.com. All right, so just in case you have no clue what I'm talking about, maybe you're new to pet battles, maybe you've never taken on the epic Beasts of Fable. Beasts of Fable pets are super-powered open-world pets that are always available to be fought, whether you have the quest or not. They spawn in fixed locations, they don't despawn, so they're always there, and they can't be killed. So in one word, they're reliable. Now, they have a fixed set of three abilities that they always use, each one. But their AI varies up how they use those abilities. So you can't always rely exactly the order that they'll do, but it seems more reliable now. So let's kind of go over some general tactics, because they did change the way the daily works, so you take out, I believe, 4 or 5 at a time in 3 different quest chunks. But you're still probably going to want to tackle all of them in a day, if you're like me, because once you get going, you can't stop. So let's talk about general tactics, what happened. The biggest change that happened in patch 5.3 is that epic beasts no longer have massive health pools. The way they made the challenging before was they just had like 4 times the health pool of a normal pet, and their abilities hit harder. But that made him susceptible to a lot of cheesy tactics, you know, dealt percentage health damage or something like that. So what they changed in 5.3 is they brought their health pools down. They're still big, but they're probably only, you know, double a normal pet size. And then instead, they're using a buff that all epic pets have, all Beasts of Fable pets have, that reduces all damage taken by 50%. Now, this 50% reduction seems to happen before pretty much any other calculation in the game. So it is a brutal penalty. But that means that percentage health attacks, like I said, aren't nearly as valuable as they used to be now in this new guide. Now, they're still significantly stronger than normal attacks, though, so don't go ahead and throw those out. So let's go over kind of the 3 big ones. Trample. Trample deals damage plus 10% of their health. This is still a great ability. Number one, there's 2 reasons why. It's 100% hit chance, so it's reliable. I love that. And right now, the 10% damage, so the 10% of their health dealt as damage, doesn't seem to be negated by the buff or damage reduction shields. It just seems to be all damage is calculated, then after everything, it does true damage, 10% of their health guaranteed every time you hit. And that is just super reliable. Super valuable. I still love Trample. Glowing Toxin, on the other hand, is not so great. Glowing Toxin, it's a debuff you put on, or a dot you put on, deals 6% health every turn, so it's actually 3% health now. So it's going to take 30 turns to kill the Beast of Fable. It's just not that good. You can deal 3% with just a normal hit at this point, so don't worry too much about Glowing Toxin. This one has been downgraded. But the big one, Predatory Strike and Impale. These are the ones that really people use to game the system, because the way these work, they're both hits, one's on flying and one's on beasts, essentially. But they do the same thing. They deal heavy damage, but their trick before was that if they were below 25% health, it would kill them instantly. And so against Beasts of Fable, this was huge, because if you could just get them down, they'd still have like 1,000 hit points, and you could just instantly kill them. But this was changed in patch 5.3, so this is a bummer. The way these two abilities changed is they still deal heavy damage, same damage, but instead of instantly killing if below 25% health, they deal double damage. So it doesn't always kill them, and it's much more easy to negate, but it's still really strong. So I still recommend having a pet that has Predatory Strike or Impale. It's just not really essential anymore. It's still really solid, though. That said, there's no hit chance on the Predatory Strike tooltip, at least on mine. I don't know if an add-on is glitching out mine, but maybe someone can confirm this for me in the comments. But Impale says it has a 95% hit chance, so I'm hoping Predatory Strike is the same. I haven't missed yet, and I've used it a fair number of times, but it's always possible they fiddled with the hit chance, so that's something to watch out for. So those are some of the key kind of abilities that we're going to use on our teams. These are, you know, key abilities that have been good against Beasts of Fable pets, are still good against them. Let's go over three more kind of abilities that I think are kind of core that, if you've been doing the Beast of Fable pets at all, if you've been trying to game the system, these are abilities you're going to be very familiar with and wondering if they still work. So first up, Sunlight. This is a weather effect. A lot of elementals have it, like plants. And what it does is it boosts all healing done, which is fine, but it's not really important to this. What it really does is increases the maximum health pool of all pets. And because, like, at first, you're going to think this is terrible, right? You don't want to increase percentage-based the health of these giant health pets that you're fighting. But it comes with a trick, Life Exchange. This is the next ability. So just keep Sunlight in mind. Weather effect, you toss it out there, makes everyone's maximum health higher. What Life Exchange does is it goes out and it equalizes the pet. It's pet health between the two pets. So essentially, it takes the average. So the value here is that Life Exchange looks at the massive health pool of your enemy. Hey, look, it's all the way up, you know, super high. And your pet, which is low, and suddenly meets them in the middle. So what makes this so good is when your pet has, you know, plus 25% health from Sunlight, and it does Life Exchange, suddenly its health bar can get even more full than it was because you're stealing health from the other guy. So Life Exchange is still really good. As far as I can tell, it completely avoids blocks and dodges. So like when Ono the Beaver builds his dam that blocks attacks, Life Exchange doesn't really count as an attack. It seems to be like a self buff, so it doesn't get blocked, it can't be dodged, even if they're invulnerable, like it still does it no matter what. And if you cast it while your health is really low and their health is still really high, so early in the fight, it essentially does crazy damage because it just lowers their health by a huge chunk. Like, if you do it right, you can basically have their health immediately. The other kind of tricky ability that people have been using is Apocalypse. If you fought a roach, you have seen this ability. This is the one where they call down a meteor strike. 5.3 nerfed this ability hard. It used to be 10 rounds. After 10 rounds, it would fall down and kill any active pet that wasn't a roach. So if the other team didn't have a roach, they were guaranteed to lose a pet that turn. 5.3 nerfed it so that it's 15 rounds now instead of 10. And, like, I can't confirm this. Like, I've heard multiple reports. I would love to hear thoughts from you guys as well if you've been testing out with this. Apocalypse has been missing a ton for me against epic pets. There seems to be something that, like, if the roach isn't alive when it lands, or if the roach isn't the active pet, like, the Beast of Fable pet just instantly misses the Apocalypse and just avoids it. Because I really wanted to build a team that was centered around this, because I wanted to build a team that was just live. Live for 15 rounds, that's all the team had to do. But it was just, it's not super reliable. I was able to reliably beat Ono, but as soon as I started bouncing around to the other Beasts of Fable pets, I just couldn't do it. It was like, sometimes it'd do it, sometimes it wouldn't. So if you've played around with Apocalypse, please let me know how it's going. If you have a trick to make sure that it always hits, if it does have something to do with whether the roach is in the front line or not, let me know. I just didn't pursue it because, honestly, it wasn't very interesting. It's not a very fun strategy to play. So, because your goal is just to stall the game out. If you do want to do this, like, I'll just give some quick tips for you. Magic pets will actually absorb some of the apocalypse damage, because magic pets can only take 40% of their health in a single hit. So even if apocalypse would kill them, the magic passive will stop it. That actually won me a couple rounds against Ono, because I'd have a magic pet out that couldn't die from apocalypse, but he would. You also want to stall out the game. That's essentially, you want sleeps, you want blinds, you want dodges, you want barricades, stack pets that have that on it. Just any sort of tanky pet is what you want. Alright, so I do have to brag here real fast, because I was actually fairly impressed by this. I built an all level 20 team, 3 level 20 pets, that killed Ono. It killed the level 30 Beast of Fable pet that's supposed to be like some amazing epic pet. It was pretty cool. I wouldn't really recommend this, but you get Roach that has Apocalypse at 20. You grab Mini Mind Slayer or Nether Fairy Dragon, because magic can survive, like I said, the apocalypse, and it has Life Exchange, that ability, you know, to swap health. And then you can put in kind of anything tanky in the other one. I did Singing Song Flower, which has the sunlight, that weather effect that makes Life Exchange better. But you could also toss in Rabbit. I won once with a level 20 Rabbit in there as well, and Anubiseth Idol to just reflect in Sandstorm as well. I won with all those. But that being said, Ono is kind of he's the lightweight champion of the Beast of Fable. But, all right. And last but not least, before we get into all the changes on the pets, there is one team out there that is the ultimate cheese still. So this is the team that will be all Beast of Fable in the same order every single time. If you're looking I don't want to be condescending, but if you're looking for a boring team, if you just want to get through the Beast of Fable super quickly, this is a great team. It's the Unborn Valkyr, Pandaren Water Spirit, and Chrominius. And essentially, the idea is that you're just stacking a bunch of dots, or sorry, like slow nukes that will tick after a certain amount of time, and then bring out Chrominius, who will cause the enemy pet to take double damage for 2 turns. And then all the things go off at once in those 2 turns, and the pet dies. Like, it's awesome, it's great, it's fast. To me, it's a little boring. I don't want to play that. But if you do want to play it, I'll have a link to it in the show notes. Someone on Reddit actually made an awesome kind of visual guide for what pets to bring to beat every single tamer in the game, which is really, really cool. But then what they said, but then there's also a small little box that explains step-by-step how to beat every Beast of Fable with this 3-pet team. So that'll be in there. But my team, and the team I recommend to you, is this. First slot, Mini Mind Slayer. You can also put a Nether Fairy Drake as an Nether Fairy Dragon as an alternative. Nether Fairy Dragon is a world pet down in Feralis, so anyone can get it. But the Mini Mind Slayer is a drop from AQ40, which is a raid boss. You could also buy it off the auction house. They aren't too expensive. But you can do either one of those there. Make sure you get them rare. The next one, Zandalari Kneebiter, which if you're following the dinosaur team that I'm currently leveling and talking about, you know that I love this pet. It is one of my favorite pets in a very long time, and it's so good. And it's good in PvP, but against epic pets where they can't interrupt your perfect strategy, it's amazing. You have to play this pet. And the last one that I'm using is Darkmoon Hatchling. And this is going to be the one that's hard for you to get. So this may be a team that kind of you strive towards over the long term, because Darkmoon Hatchling you can only get from Darkmoon Fair. And you can only get it while the Darkmoon Fair is up, and it costs like 60 tickets, I think, which is no small amount of tickets. But real fast, I'll go over kind of the abilities of each of these, just to kind of explain why we're using them. Alright, Mini Mind Slayer is basically there because he has Life Exchange. That's it. He's there to make sure Life Exchange goes off. Zandalari Kneebiter is there because he can just deal out insane damage. So I think he has one of the highest 3-turn damage outputs I have seen in a long time. And then Darkmoon Hatchling is there because he has Trample, which is that awesome, you know, 10% health attack. And he has Predatory Strike, which is the awesome finisher. So that combination, as far as I know, and I may be wrong, this is the only pet in the game that has those two abilities, which both are key to beating Beasts of Fable. So it's definitely worth getting. Of course, now that I say that, Blizzard will probably it'll probably nerf it next patch, and then you'll be really sad that you bought it. But maybe you can just watch out for the patch 5.4 notes. If they don't nerf Dark Moon Hatchling or move its abilities around or whatever, definitely get it, because it's not overpowered, it's just super useful in this specific situation. So, a normal fight, here's how it goes. Toss out Mini Mindslayer first. Use Mana Surge, which is a 3-turn ability where it deals heavy damage. Deals 463 damage for 3 turns. Only has an 80% hit chance, but you're locked into that attack for 3 turns, so it's kind of risky. Life Exchange after that, because essentially once that's done, you should be almost dead. So use Life Exchange to basically bring your pet back up to full health again, and then they're dropped down. Now they've lost a little bit of health, not a ton, but that's okay. And then at this point, you're going to pass. And this is going to seem really weird. But the thing is, once Life Exchange goes off, Mini Mind Slayer has done its job. It's going to take more damage off of the enemy pet with Life Exchange than anything else it can do. And the trick is, you want it to die. You don't want to swap, or else whatever pet you swap in is going to take a heavy hit. And it's not going to be able to get its own combo off. So you're kind of throwing Mini Mind Slayer under the bus here, but that's okay. So go ahead and pass, and then once it gets to its last turn, and you can tell based on damage output how many turns you have left. On the last turn, you do Amplify Magic. And what that does is it increases the damage done by your active pet by 50% for 2 rounds. And then your pet dies. But then you bring out Zandalari Kneebiter. And this guy's amazing. And here's what you do. You do Hunting Party. And if you're listening to the dinosaur team that we're testing right now, you'll know why I love Hunting Party. It's basically Stampede, but it lasts 2 rounds, so it deals damage and it applies 100% damage debuff taken to the enemy pet. It's just incredible. Only lasts 2 rounds, though. And unless a miracle happens, your little raptor buddy is only going to last 3 rounds against the enemy. So you don't Black Claw, because you actually get more out of doing Blood Fang after Hunting Party, just straight DPS-wise. You get more out of doing Blood Fang at the end. You can calculate the math, but essentially you get 6 hits off of... Oh man, I'm trying to do the math right now. Why didn't I write it down? You either get 6 hits off of 130 damage, or you get like 1200 damage. Because it's 800 plus 25% of that. 25% of 800 is 200, so it's like 1000 damage from Blood Fang. You just can't compete with that. 1000 damage from Blood Fang is insane. So you do that... and then your Kneebiter dies. Goodbye, Kneebiter. You let him die again. Don't swap him out. Then the Dark Moon Hatchling comes in. At this point, it's kind of an easy win. Trample can deal 10% of their health damage every single turn, and all you have to do is get it below 25% health. Because as soon as you get the enemy pet below 25% health, you Predatory Strike and kill it. Feels good. So that's my team. That's kind of the strategy I use. It's very reliable. I had to make a couple swaps out, which I'll call out kind of as I go through each of the beasts or each of the pets right now, the Beasts of Fable. But for the most part, that's the strategy. And I like that team because it's still interesting. It's more interesting to me than just stacking dots and then doing the double damage buff. And it's still kind of fun. But, you know, teach their own. But now I'm going to go through each of the Beasts of Fable. I ran around the world and played against all of them and compared it to the last guide and kind of saw what they changed, because Corey Stockton, when he was on this podcast, what was that, like a month ago now, I think, he was saying, you know, they were making more changes than we expected to the Beasts of Fable. And so I wanted to see kind of what abilities changed, what happened. I really wanted to see. So let's jump right into it. No, the Aquatic Otter. This guy has no major changes. The key to winning is still to use his own dam ability, which he builds a dam, and you use it to block his own dive attack, because dam blocks attacks on both sides. So you just have to remember that. So the tip here, I'm going to offer an extra tip for each of these. Life Exchange works while he's underground. While he's dove and unattackable, Life Exchange will still go off, and Life Exchange doesn't trigger dam. So it's great. When he's down there diving, you can steal his whole health, and his dam will still block his dive. Up next, Gorespine the Beast Porcupine. Now, this is the first pet that convinced me that my level 20 team was not going to cut it, because his damage output is just frankly insane. So there's no major changes on him from before patch 5.3. His bleed is brutal, though. I think they increase the damage on this because he applies a bleed that hits really heavy and then ticks super heavy. As soon as he gets that bleed dot on you, that pet is dying. It's just a matter of how many turns before it dies. And against critters, it will kill it in one hit. And that's just terrifying. At least most critters. There's probably some critter out there with insane health that could survive it. So the tip for this guy, focus your hits into big chunks when you can. Because he has a lot of kind of reduced damage or reflect damage. So you want to hit him big chunks. And you can do that mostly by using damage buffs. So, you know, adding, you know, 100% damage attacks. So, like, Hunting Party is perfect against this guy. Or load and fire turns like the Clockwork Rocket Bot is another good one for this one. Or Clockwork Gnome, sorry, who can build a rocket and then launch it. That's another good one against this guy. Up next, the biggest jerk in Beasts of Fable. And this is funny because I don't remember him being this hard the first time around. So they must have changed something. Or I don't know if maybe his abilities just synergize better. You know who I'm talking about. Tiun, the Aquatic Turtle. He is now the hardest one to kill, by far. So don't get frustrated when you start fighting this guy. Because naturally, like, he's super close to the... Oh, wherever you get the quest. I'm totally blanking on that valley. It's not Valley of the Four Winds, the Golden Lotus area. Someone is shouting it right now as they're listening to the podcast. But he's super close to that, so he's naturally the first one I always go to. And I almost, like, threw my keyboard in frustration. So the big problem is he puts on a shield that absorbs 112 damage from every hit taken. But it applies after the 50% damage reduction from his buff. So you need to deal more than 224 damage just to hit it. Anything below 224 damage won't even register. It will just count as a miss. It won't apply debuffs. It won't do anything. So you need more than 450 damage. 450 damage. So those are some of like the big abilities in the game, right? 450 damage. That will only deal 100 damage to this guy. So yeah, I just want to reiterate that if your damage falls below the threshold that the shell absorbs it, the debuff doesn't get applied either. So if you do one of those abilities like a low hit that reduces their speed, the speed debuff doesn't go on. The shield just absorbs it. This is another guy, he missed Apocalypse 4 times in a row. So I was all set up to win Apocalypse would kill it, and he just miss. Apocalypse is 100% hit chance. So I don't know what's going on. Trample is kind of your only hope here. Because like I said, Trample goes through the shield. The shield seems to bypass. The shield stops the first part of the Trample damage, but the 10% health gets through. So this is where Darkmoon Hatchling saves the day. Because he has Trample, which is his awesome ability, and he has Predatory Strike, which is a flying attack, which has bonuses against Tiun, and does double damage if you can just get it below 25% health. Darkmoon Hatchling actually was able to solo Tiun, the Aquatic Turtle, if the turtle never used Pump. If the turtle has two modes, and it's kind of crazy. Tiun, the Aquatic Turtle, this guy, the one we're talking about, he will either spam his AoE constantly, or he will pump. And if you don't know, Pump is that ability where he spends one turn getting it ready, and the next ability casting it, and it's a huge. His pump will almost instantly kill any pet. So if he does like the AoE twice, whatever pet is on the front line will get killed by pump. So if he's doing pumps, there's almost nothing you can do to win. You just kind of have to start over. So the tip with this one is basically keep trying until he's not pumping every turn, because if he pumps every turn, you lose. You just have to get lucky with the AI, unfortunately. But make sure you get Darkmoon Hatchling for this guy. Another strategy that I've heard with him, and I tried it out and it's good. It wasn't completely reliable, but it was still good, is you bring out a pet that can cast Call Darkness, and then you bring out a pet that can apply the double damage buff. So my personal favorites are Gilnean Raven and the Chrominius. And then you bring out a pet that has Predatory Strike. Or sorry, not Predatory Strike. Nocturnal Strike. Is that what it's called? Oh, I'm going to look it up right now. All right, yeah, it is Nocturnal Strike. Phew, all right. So this is the ability where it has a super low hit chance, but it deals a ton of flying damage, which, like I said, deals bonus damage against turtles. But if the target is blinded, it always hits. And so you call Darkness, put on a double damage buff and then hit him with this, and it just it almost kills him in one hit. It's pretty good. And then you can usually follow it up with a couple alpha strikes. So I highly recommend Gilnean Raven if you want to try that strategy. Chrominius is another great one because he also has a nuke if you need it, the Surge of Power. All right, the mighty Turtle King is finally dead. Who will challenge us next? Greyhoof, the Beast Mushan. I'm not actually sure if that's a type of animal, but other animals like him were called Mushan. Mushan near him, so I'm assuming that's an animal type. I'm not sure. He looks like he's one of those weird, like, bull calves kind of thing. Dinosaur bulls? I don't know. Greyhoof, you know who he is. Come on, right? You're a pet battler. You fought him before. Will this man threaten us? No. There's nothing major new here. He's still just basically a DPS pet. He applies a damage buff to himself and then just hits you a bunch of times. Your only strategy here, your tip, just out DPS him. He has trample ability, which is not nearly good against us as it is against him. So the joke is on him. But he will spam it, and it's still a pretty brutal hit. So, you know, with our team, Zandalar and Kneebiter will be doing most of the work. He goes out there and just tears through that guy's health like nobody's business. Alright, Skitterer Zia. This is the aquatic water strider down in the Krayasang Wilds. This guy, it's pretty simple again. It's pure damage. There's really nothing else. He gets a small perk if he's going faster on one of his attacks. There is one small change to our plan on this guy, though. For Mini Mindslayer, swap out Mana Surge, which is his first ability, for Eye Blast. Because, let's be honest, Mana Surge locks you in for 3 rounds, and against this pet, he's not going to live for 3 rounds, so you're never going to cast that ability. And what Eye Blast does is it deals low damage, but it also reduces their speed. So it's reducing his damage. So, I mean, it's not a huge change, but it'll help a little bit. So you might as well do it. All right, Lucky Yi. Now this is funny to me. This is the cricket, the critter up in Valley of the Four Winds. This is by far the most requested one on the site. People always are coming to this article. Google will like tell me what people are searching for when they get directed to the site, and it's always, how do I beat Lucky Yi? How do I kill Lucky Yi? How is Lucky Yi so good? He just doesn't seem that good to me. And I'm not sure why. Like, it must just be I like pets that naturally counter Yi. So, here's the thing. He got a huge damage increase on his tooltip in patch 5.3, but it seems to be bugged because his damage is not hitting for what it's supposed to. The tooltip says it should be hitting for 426 damage, but it's hitting for less than 300. And I can't figure out why. Like, there's no debuffs on either of us, there's no buffs, there's no weather effects, I can't figure it out. So I think it's just a bug. So at this point, Lucky Yi is still easy to beat. Just bring any beast damage and you can melt this thing's face off. Our team will do awesome, because Zandalar and Kneebiter will like kill it in 2 turns, no problem. He heals a ton, but that's really not a problem with our teams. We have sustained DPS, just kick it out. Alright. Now this is my arch nemesis from the last guide, Dosraiga, the aquatic fish. He's still one of the hardest fights. This guy is just a jerk. He has a ton of healing. This is the weird fish that's somehow floating out of water, and he has like a water bubble around him. It's really weird. But he is a beast of fable, so who am I to judge? I don't know. I don't know fables of Pandaria. They have weird stories there. So the thing is, he has tons of healing, and he will absolutely destroy our magic pet, which is confusing at first glance, because magic is supposed to take less damage from aquatic, but he actually has a dragonkin attack that he spams that just deals insane damage, and then against the magic pets, it is guaranteed to be 40% of your health every single time he casts it, which means you have 2 turns to live, basically. The key to this fight is timing, because the raptor can deal heavy damage, our little Kneebiter, if there's no Whirlpool proc. Because if there's a Whirlpool proc, that guy is dying really fast. He needs to be able to get off 2 turns of Hunting Party and a Bloodfang. So he needs to stay alive for 3 turns. So you kind of have to get lucky. So do your best, if you can, to keep a low health pet alive to absorb a hit and Whirlpool. If you have the magic pet or you have another one, do whatever you need to do to keep that pet alive to eat the Whirlpool. Because so many times it landed on the raptor right when he entered, and he just got torn apart. All right, we've got 3 left before we are officially the new conquerors of the new Beasts of Fable. Up next is Caffy. This is the same as before. Nothing special. No new abilities. His big trick is he has an ability to make himself go faster, and then an attack that does more damage if he is going faster. And just like, all right. He does have an ability that can stun you. And I mean, that's the other trick. I mean, that's really the real threat. But the thing is, the stun only has a 25% chance. So it's basically, if you look at it this way, it's a 25% chance you will lose the match. If it stuns, you should probably just restart it. If you're in a rush, just go ahead. If not, go ahead and see if you can win. But if he gets that stun off, it was pretty hard for me to come back from. But other than that, he's just dealing damage, just like you. Deal damage faster. Up next, Neetoon, the Beast Raccoon. He is adorable. His banner underneath is the Midnight Plunderer. I love it. I want to catch him. Nothing has wanted me to catch the Epic Beast of Fable more than this little guy. So he has an ability. He has a big damage pump that also reduces your damage. So it hits you, reduces your damage, and increases his damage. And then hits you with something heavy. So blocks or dodges will be super valuable against this guy. I didn't actually have to swap out pets for it, but it's still... I would not be against swapping out pets, shall we say. I wanted to try and beat them all with this team, and I was able to, but bringing in a pet that can block or dodge is probably a good idea. The tip with here is if he kills you with Ravage, which is his big attack, it's the one because he boosts his damage and then does Ravage two turns in a row, he heals for 700 health, which is a ridiculous amount of health. That is brutal. It will absolutely change the match. So you basically have to be able to dodge a Ravage kill. Do whatever you have to do, swap out pets, bring in something that can dodge or burrow or something. You just have to not get killed by Ravage. If you get killed by Ravage, this guy is a beast of Fable. Last but not least, Kawi the Gorger, the giant caterpillar. It's cute in a goony sort of way. My wife seemed to like it, at least, when I was out there checking it out. Now, this guy's trick is he throws out a slow, and then he does chew. And what that does is it puts a buff on himself that next turn he deals heavy damage, in addition to whatever he's doing. And then he attacks you next turn. So you get hit by Chew and an attack, and you basically die. Now, the magic pet was barely able to survive it, actually, if he was lucky. You use Eye Blast to slow down the enemy. So again, you swap Mana Swords for Eye Blast for this fight. Slow them down and get a life exchange off after Chew hits. So that your pet is barely alive, and then you take a ton of health from him. Now, the big tip for this one is Chew is 800 damage. For the love of God, bring something that can dodge, because that is brutal. And that, my friends, is the update for the Beasts of Fable. If you've been fighting them, I hope this helps you kind of find a new way, and you haven't been killing yourself trying to figure out how to beat that stupid turtle like I did. Because that guy, man... If you have fought these guys, jump on the blog, gamediplomat.com, send some comments, let me know your tips, what pets you're using to take them out. I would love to know some tips on how to beat the turtle, how to beat that the flying fish guy, because those are the two I'm still having trouble with. I can't reliably beat those guys. If you have some tricks, let me know. I'll add them to the guide as well. Thanks to everyone else that submitted their ideas to the last guide as well. There's tons of comments on there. If you need ideas, jump to the old blog, which will also be linked on there, the old guide. Lots of people put in some good thoughts in there. So, please, let me know what you thought of the show. Send me feedback. You can find me on Twitter, @JAugustine. Or you can email me, wildpetbattle@outlook.com. Or join our Google Plus community. And please talk about pets, because pets are wonderful. Good luck to everyone who will be trying to take out the new Beasts of Fable pet. And doing your dailies and hopefully earning some sweet, sweet battle stones in there. Until next week, thanks again for tuning in to another episode of WoW Pet Battle Crew and taming the world of Azeroth with me one turn at a time. Happy hunting, tamers.